Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That word communion is the partnership of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And last week we started and we're doing a series called Our Great Helper. And we talked about that the Holy Spirit, that word communion means fellowship, means partnership. Now we jumped into why we need a spiritual partner is because we have a spiritual purpose. And I'm going to continue to bring that theme home because it's real important. Why do we need help? Because we have a purpose. And again, you know, you can always get this stuff for free. You can download it. You can go look at our YouTube. So we make all of our stuff available to you. Our purpose involves glorifying God and advancing His kingdom on the earth. Glorifying, that this is one of the key reasons that we're here. You know, it's interesting that I've noticed over the years that oftentimes, especially with adults, that after adults come to Christ, especially if they come to Christ in their 20s, 30s, I often hear people say, you know, I just feel like I'm called to ministry. And, you know, a lot of times I'll tell them, I say, well, let's hang on to that for a little bit. Because here's the thing. What happens is often when people come to the Lord, they sense for the first time, there's a reason for me being here. There's a sense of divine purpose in my life that I did not have before. And so what happens is we too often equate it with only being, well, I have to be a preacher, or I have to be somehow in ministry, or a teacher, or I have to be a worship leader. Listen, the beautiful thing is your divine purpose can be exactly where you are. And God can use you exactly where you are. And that sense of divine purpose is regardless of whether you drive a truck, whether you own a business, whether you're a stay-at-home parent, it doesn't matter. God has a purpose, and our purpose is to glorify Him and advance His kingdom. Amen. And so, however you do that, in fact, we don't need all of you being preachers. This church ain't big enough for a few thousand preachers. But it is big enough for a few thousand people who recognize there's a reason I'm here. I'm here for this time at this place, and I'm going to make my life count for God. I will glorify Him on the earth. A purpose for that. Recognizing the purpose is important. And then Paul prayed for the believers to recognize their purpose. I'm not going to go into that just for sake of time. So we talked about the Holy Spirit helping us as a partner, strengthening us as a partner. And one of my questions is, why is there not a higher level of interest in the Holy Spirit? Why don't we hear people go, man, I need to know more about that? And so I just want to kind of address why people aren't like, man, I want to know about that. The first one is no recognized need for Him. Without embracing a divine purpose, there's no need for divine power. If I came to you and said, look, I've got this additive. It's brand new. It hadn't even gone to the public yet, but I've got it. And if you just add it one time to your gas tank, it will give your engine 150 more horsepower that will last. Now, if you, let's say your passion was building high-performance vehicles. What's the company? Is it Hennessy that's out in Sealy? They work on Corvettes and GM products. And like they'll take a Yukon with 425 horsepower. When they finish with it, it's got 650 horsepower, which means that there's a family hauler. if your passion was man, I want high performance, or maybe you raced legally, you raced cars, and you're like, man, 150, I can get 150. You'd be like, I can get 150 extra horsepower. Yeah, Will it last more? No, it will last. It will impact your engine so that you just got an additional 150 horsepower. If your passion and your purpose was high performance vehicle, or your passion was speed, you're like, yes, we're going to get it. How much does it cost? But if you were someone that's like, I'm into safety and gas mileage. We're not kin, but if you were into safety and gas mileage, you wouldn't see a need for that. You'd be like, I don't need 150 extra. I don't know about you. My passion may not be building performance vehicles, but you offered me that 150. Anybody got anybody else? Any takers on that? I'm selling this tonight afterwards. You know, I got people like, and I'll be lining up too. Here's the thing. If you recognize a need for more power, then you're interested in more power. But if you're like, I just want to get there safe. And I just drive the speed limit, or I drive 5 under. You're the person I pray for on the highway. But you don't need any more power. Here's the thing. I think sometimes people feel like, well, I got saved and I'm going to heaven and Jesus is there if I need him and helpful, but that's about it. No, when you recognize, yes, you got saved. Yes, you're on your way to heaven. Yes, the Lord is to help you, but there's things we do for him. This is not Jesus, what can you just do for me? How about, here's my life, Lord. What can I do for you? And if you begin to recognize that, you think, I think I need some more horsepower here, Lord. If I'm going to do what needs to be done, we're living in a dark age. I need all the help I can get. Recognize the need for him. Then you're a little more interested in finding out about him. There's second reason, lack of knowledge about who he is. Lack of knowledge. You ever heard the old adage, what we're not up on, we're down on? You know what that means? What I mean up on? What you're not informed about, you're not for until you find out about it. I was thinking about this, and I realized I'm going to have to explain it. Years ago, before social media, people went on blind dates. Anybody here, I'm just asking, anybody here, you're married to someone right now out of a blind date. Do I have anybody here? Yep, I got one. Okay, yeah, I got a few right there, blind date. A blind date, for those of you who came up in the social media age, is when a friend says to you, hey, my girlfriend and I are going to a concert, and her cousin's coming into town, and we need, and man, she wants to come to this concert, but she doesn't want to tag along. Would you go as a blind date? You have not seen her. Now, today, if you take that blind date, you're stupid. Because you can look them up and find out. Because what is the first question you ask on a blind date? Somebody.
What does she look like?
What do they look like? Don't act like you're all sanctimonious. Oh, I didn't care. No, you did care. If she had one eye in the middle of her forehead, you weren't going. And if they told you she had a wonderful personality, we'll bail out right now. We're out. A blind date was blind. You did not know. How many of you have been on a bad blind date? And the ones that were married, do not raise your hand at all. Anybody ever been on a bad one? Yeah, it's a reality. We've treated the Holy Spirit like a blind date. We don't know much about him. We're like, I don't know. What's he look like? What's he going to do in my life? And we haven't known enough about him to what we're not up on, we're down on. Instead of realizing this is the third person of the Godhead. This is God in the earth. This, it doesn't get any better than this. And so realizing and learning more about him is going to be key here. In Romans 10:14, It said, how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Leave it up there just for a second. I'm going to back up. They preach and people hear. People hear and they believe. People believe and they call. The process is, it's proclaimed and I hear it and I believe it and I act on it. So what needs to happen is we need to hear more about who he is, what he can do. And then when we do that, we believe that. And then we begin to act on that. So again, not knowing enough about him, people are like, I don't know. No, the more you know about him, the more you're like, Lord, I need him in my life in a big way. And I want to acknowledge him. Now you have him in your life. You're a believer. He's already in your life, but we need to be able to acknowledge him. We want to become more aware of him and his presence. Here's the third one. Language has changed from early Bible translations. Holy Spirit, if you grew up in certain churches, he was known as the Holy what?
Ghost.
Holy Ghost. 1611, when they translated the King James Bible, the word ghost did not have a negative connotation. Things have changed over the years. Now when we think of ghost, if you came up from my generation, you think of either Casper, the friendly ghost, or you think of ghost that's scary. And so the term ghost, actually the word for Holy Ghost is spirit. It's the same words translated differently throughout the Bible, but it's spirit is accurate. And so people hear ghost and they're like, ooh, ghost. Don't know about ghost. Don't think I want a ghost in my life. But the Holy Spirit, yeah, you want him. The other one is misinformation. Some have ignored or minimized his present day work. He's got a real important work. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. When you make Jesus your Lord, you're born of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. He lives in you. And he witnesses to your heart, you're a child of God. And someone says, are you a child of God? And you go, yeah. And there's a witness on the inside where the Holy Spirit's going, yeah, that's you. You are. And the more you acknowledge that, the more real it becomes to you. But he's the one that bears witness. He lets us know. You see, before you made Jesus your Lord, if someone asked you if you're a child of God, you're like, I don't know. But after you make him Lord, you're like, yeah, I am. And that's the witness he gives you on the inside. And so people have minimized his ministry. He's got a great ministry. And people have seen weirdness and blame the Holy Spirit. Everyone knows somebody who did something really weird and said, well, the Holy Ghost made me do it. No, he didn't. He did not. 2 Timothy 1:7, this is a familiar passage. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Power and love. The Bible said the Holy Spirit is a spirit of power. He's the spirit. He's the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of power. He is the Spirit of love. He's going to lead you in love. And he's the Spirit of a sound. That means a disciplined mind. The Holy Spirit comes to make us more Christ-like, not to make us more weird. And so people who've done weird things and blame the Holy Spirit, no. I've often said this. I believe it's true. People who do weird things and blame the Holy Spirit, they were weird to begin with. The Holy Spirit did not make them weird. So you're not like a normal person, and then you get the Holy Spirit in your life, and you're like, now I'm kooky crazy. No, that's not the way it works. He makes us more like Jesus. Power, love, and a sound mind. Here's the fifth one. And I think this is probably where it is a challenge. The Holy Spirit is harder to personify. We can grasp and we can imagine in our minds coming before the throne of God who is our Father. We can imagine that. We can imagine, I've never had a vision of Jesus, but I can imagine what Jesus looks like. He's 5'10". So how'd you know? I made that up. But he looks like us. And so is it The Chosen that it's that show? Whoever they got to play Jesus there, I think that's a great Jesus. Back in the 70s, they had Jesus of Nazareth. Anybody remember that movie? Jesus looked like a blonde-haired, blue-eyed heroin addict. He was really weird. Remember, he had weird. He did all things with his hands. It was like, that's not. But anyway, we can imagine Jesus. We can imagine what Jesus looks like. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's kind of like, ooh, because he's likened to so many things. Let's look at what he's likened to. He's likened to rivers of living water. John 7. Jesus is speaking. He said, on that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. By this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. In other words, the Holy Spirit couldn't come and live in us like he does today until Jesus was glorified, until Jesus went to the cross, died, and raised again. Now no longer is there a separation between man and God. Now the temple of God that used to, in Israel, that used to hold the presence of the Holy Spirit, thank God that the presence of the Holy Spirit doesn't stay in the temple. Now we're the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit can come and live in us. And that's really good news. But So we're thinking, okay, like a river. He's rivers. Well, he's also like a dove. John, first chapter again. Jesus said, John bore witness, said, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. In fact, that's probably one of the most recognizable symbols of the Holy Spirit is the dove. And remained on him, but I did not know him. This is John. But he who sent me to baptize with water said, upon you see the Spirit, Holy Spirit, descending and remaining on him. This is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And so, like a dove, like a river, like wind and fire, Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Rivers, dove, wind, and fire. Jesus never referred to the Holy Spirit as an it. He always referred to him as he. So it's a divine personality. This is where our mind kind of goes tilt. Because we think of individuals that we're a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body, we can contact three realms, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. The Holy Spirit is more multidimensional than that. He's not confined to a body. So do you understand that? No. But I know he's God. And so, and I know, and Jesus talked about him. We'll talk more about what Jesus says about him. But it's harder for us to personify him because we can't get a visual of him looking like us. And then the last one is, wherever there is confusion and controversy, look for the work of Satan. Whenever you see people going, I don't know about it, I always just look and see, is the enemy at work? Because here's the thing, who doesn't want believers filled with rivers of living water? Who doesn't want them filled with power and love and of a sound mind? And so in Mark, the 4th chapter, Jesus says this, these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown in their hearts. And so people can hear, and then it goes. Enemy comes to steal. So those are some reasons why there's not a higher level of interest in the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about, and we'll start it tonight, we'll continue next week, three areas of awareness regarding the Holy Spirit that we can grow in. Three areas of awareness. We want to grow in his presence, awareness of his presence, awareness of his purpose, and awareness of his power. Awareness of his presence in our life, the awareness of his purpose in our life, and the awareness of his power in our life. So to do that, there's a process here. Know what the scriptures say about the Holy Spirit. Believe what the scriptures say. So we have to embrace biblical truth and act accordingly. So let's talk a little bit about his presence in our life and becoming more aware of that. The Holy Spirit has been sent into our hearts. Galatians, the 4th chapter, verse 6. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When you made Jesus your Lord, you didn't become a servant of God, you became a son of God, a child of God. And so the Spirit of God is in us. I'll give you some more scriptures for that. He comes to dwell in us. If you've been born again, the Holy Spirit is living in you. The Spirit of God lives in us, Romans 8, the 8th chapter, verses 9 through 11. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ, now, don't let that bother you. Say, well, wait a minute, I don't belong. No, if you have, let him finish here. If you've been born again, you have the Spirit of Christ living in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So that's good news. So if you've made Jesus your Lord, the Spirit of him, God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. You say, well, I don't really recognize him. I don't recognize that he's in there. I've never really felt him being in there. And here's where, let me help you with this, because this is where I think we have become so accustomed to feelings or emotions or something that we don't realize that spiritual reality is above feelings and emotions. And so one of the things that we can do is we can become more aware of the Spirit, and I'll tell you how. Years ago, when we were, Joy and I were living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Joy had Graves' disease, and they gave her radioactive iodine. Purpose of that was it would kill her thyroid off. And so Matthew was just a baby, and we went down there and they gave her the radioactive iodine. And when they walked out, the doctor looked at me. He said, now, here's the thing. We gave her the iodine. Everything went well. He said, but you need to stay away from her and do not let her hold the baby because it's radioactive. And so for, I think, a day or two, he said, stay away from Joy. So when Joy walked out, she looked the same. She was not glowing. She was not green. She looked like Joy. She walked out, and we were kind of like, you stay over there. Little baby Matt, you cannot hold little baby Matt. Maybe she did when I didn't know it, and that's what happened. I never. I just finally, okay, I get it. He's not even here. That was good, and he's not even here. He's baptizing. Dog. Make sure he listens to it. Okay, yeah. Get the recording. Anyway, we wouldn't come near her. She sat in the back seat. We moved Matt to the front seat. When we drove home, we stayed away from her for a couple of days. Now, I love my wife. Staying away from my wife is not what I wanted to do. But every time I'd go, I'm like, no, because she's radioactive. I could not see it. I could not feel it. But because the doctor said, don't get near her, she's radioactive, we acted on what he said. I believed what the doctor said, and we acted accordingly. Okay, here's where I'm going, right here. The Bible says, if you're a child of God, that the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. You may not see it, you're not changing, you're not glowing, you're not green, but the Holy Spirit lives in you. If we believe that, then we begin to act accordingly. So in other words, we begin to go, praise God, the Holy Spirit lives in me. He is in me. What would be great to say is, thank you, Lord. As I'm going to work today, your Holy Spirit goes with me to work. When I go into the office, he is going with me. When I come home, he is with me. I am never alone. And I'm acting on it regardless of what I see or feel. Does that make sense? The process is we can become more aware of him, but we're going to have to believe and act like he's there. And so you begin to do that and things begin to change. Now, Paul was writing to the church and he said this, and I'll close it here. He actually began to talk about a reason for them to live differently. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He said, don't you know this? You should know this. He said, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Ever people say, my body is the temple? That's accurate. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting because Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. Corinth was the Las Vegas of its day. Corinth was the most sexualized, it was the most sexualized city in the ancient world. It was the temple of Aphrodite. They had 1,000 temple prostitutes. Sex was, we Americans think we invented sex. We did not invent it. God invented it. It's been around a long time. And other people perverted it a long time before we had a chance to do it. But it was always there. And he's writing to the Corinthian church who's coming out of the lifestyle that they used to live in. And the reason he's telling them, hey, Here's the reason. People say, well, God doesn't want me to have fun. No, you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you don't take the temple of the Holy Spirit and sleep around with everybody else because you are now the temple of God. You belong to Him. He bought you with a price, and you're different than you used to be. Things have changed. You see, that was tepid, but I'll take it anyway. I appreciate it, but here's the deal. We need to recognize I'm not the same person. God did something in me. I'm not the same I used to be. My body, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. Where I go, He goes. And Paul was exhorting these Corinthians who were, and they were coming out of a lifestyle that probably worse than many of us. And he's saying, guys, don't you know, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God who lives in you. We're different. We're changed. That's why we live differently. Not because God's trying to ruin our fun. It's because God knows exactly what He's doing. And we're His vessels. We're His temple. So before you go to bed tonight, go, you are one, look in the mirror, go, you are one good-looking temple. And the Spirit of God lives in you. Let's bow our heads for a second. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You came this evening and you said, you know what, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not sure. Or you like, you know, I did it one time and I got away from God. I recognize that. I did that too. And so you're here and you're thinking, man, what do I do from here? Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're watching because we're going to pray a prayer. It's a powerful prayer. It's a prayer for you just to receive Jesus as your Lord. And so we're not going to have you stand up or come down here to the front. But maybe you've been away from God and you recognize, man, I'm tired of being away. I want to live this life. This is a better life. Is it a more challenging life? Yes. Is it a better life? Yes. Is it more fulfilling? Yes. Here and in the next life to come, it's a win-win. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If that's you that I'm talking to, you say, Alan, I don't know where I stand with God, or I know I need to come back to Him. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up just real quick across this auditorium. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Anybody else? Great. Thanks. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to. Pray this prayer with us. We're going to pray with you as a church family. If you're by yourself online, pray it out loud. If you're with other people, pray it quietly. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to You.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.